And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. Now, whether, again, look at strictly from a historical standpoint. This is thousands of years ago. There have only been three monotheistic religions in the world, in the history of the world. Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. Huh? All three of them came from Shem. Hebrew has been the language of revelation. All spiritual revelation, fundamentally has come through this line. Christ, the Messiah, came from this line. The prophecy was totally fulfilled in Christ. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. Okay? Genesis is the book of beginnings. If you can't find a thought line or a line of thought that you are operating on in Genesis, it's wrong. Understand? Genesis is the foundation for any line of philosophy or any line of theology or any line of the way you think about life. If it can't be found in Genesis, it's wrong. The foundation has to be sure. One of the things we're doing over here, I'd like to show you guys, in fact, we might take a field trip. That little building that we're doing in the back is going to have 33 pier and beam foundation points. It's going to be, the foundation is going to be the best it can be. It's going to allow for shifts. It's going to allow for... And that's why, if I had a choice of building anything, that's where it would be. What? Nothing. What'd you say?
I said it's the only house on this block that's allowing for shifts at this point.
That's true.
Are you
going to
be working
at
all weekend still?
Mm-hmm.
Because we could come on that next week.
Okay.
It's really funny, you know, that house in Abilene I told you about on the lake that when my uncle died, they're going to have to bulldoze it. Because the foundation isn't there.
There's no foundation.
The foundation's all rotted and shifting.
Well, what we've had to do is we've torn out everything on this building, the ceiling, the roof. We've torn out what it sat on.
Foley
and now we're going.
Nails.
Huh?
Foley was pulling nails.
And now we're going through it, and we're going to cause the foundation to be secure at every load point. Now, it's a picture of what I do with you. To cause the foundation to be secure at every point where there's pressure. You understand?
That's neat. I never heard you say that before.
So that there can be nothing come upon you that will cause your base, your being, your essence to crumble. That's my only job. I have no other purpose in life. Because then that equips you for the work of the ministry. If your foundation is solid, that no situation in the universe can come against it, then you're secure. Okay. Go to Psalm 144. It's not the square root of 12.
The square.
Oh, okay.
Psalm what?
144. Verse 9, well, I want to, 144 is this, it's the idea of what happens to you, no matter what the situation is, if your foundation is like what we just read, right? And Shem? I'm going to read the whole thing. Blessed be the Lord God, my only strength, which teacheth my hands to war. Now, we are taught And if I have anything to do about it, you are taught to war, to go to knock down, drag out war the moment there is something that enters into your life that is an enemy of the revelation. Not externally, because the battle is never external. Your warfare is here, and you can't excuse it for a second. You cannot be a debtor to the flesh for one instant. If you are, you've lost, and this psalm is, oh, I wished I were there. Blessed be the Lord, my only strength, which teacheth my hands to war, my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I alone trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. Now that's us, folks. That's your thoughts. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. You understand? I mean, you got to come back down to this sometime. The only thing worth getting upset about or giving any importance to in your life is something that doesn't change with time. Make people come to you. Don't you run after them on that basis. You understand? The promise of God is if you lift him up vis-a-vis the cross in you, then he will draw all men unto you. You'll never have to chase after anything. Can you imagine anything more obscene than a Christian promoting something? Or running after trying to chase somebody? It's obscenity. Listen to this. Cast forth thy lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the band of strange children. Hand of strange children.
Is there a band named Strange Children?
There is a band named Strange Children?
You're thinking of New Kids on the Block.
Same thing.
Whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Now, for us as a people, we are a strange people. But for us, our prayer is deliver us from the hand of the strange children, because to us everything else is strange. Don't let us enter into alliance with strangers. You know, that's what that Sabbath prayer is. The Sabbath prayer that we sing is the prayer that of making the boundary clear. Keep us from the stranger's ways. Mm-hmm. We are so prone to fall into the stranger's ways. And everything in us, our history, our emotion, everything about our makeup, if we don't keep a watchful eye, we'll fall into the stranger's ways. We'll become as brute beasts. Keep us from the stranger's ways. I will sing a new song unto thee. Why can we now sing this? Because the flood has come. The waters of judgment were sure. Everything is destroyed. Now there's only that life which is Christ left, that which was preserved in the ark of Christ. I will sing a new song unto thee. O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children. There we some. I'm going to have to look up that word.
Strange
children? Strange. Whose mouth speaketh vanity, and the right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Now the that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full according to all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets. I don't want 10,000 sheep in my streets.
Y'all, I think y'all look
good. And our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. That's a pretty neat psalm. Okay, that's the lesson that we learned from Noah, from Genesis 9. That the waters of judgment have come upon everything else. We are in the ark. Everything else is destroyed. Okay? All right, go to Genesis 10. Now you see again, it starts out, these are the generations. Remember the Toleda. It means it's a new book. Yeah. This is the beginning of a new book, one of the 11 books.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, life gets interesting.
Nimrod
is the Hebrew word narod, which means it means to rebel. It's a generic term meaning we will rebel. Nimrod was the first great leader of the world. He was in effect the leader of all the known world. He was there's no one in history like him. There's no one in history who had more power than Nimrod. And this isn't just from biblical sources, it's from all extra biblical sources.
So he was even more powerful than Solomon?
Oh yeah. In terms of subjection, the people under subjection. The ancients, the Midrash says that the reason, it says he became a mighty one, and it also, the word mighty one is the word gibor. It is a rarely used word. It can also mean the wicked one. It's in ancient times or in writing or in literature, it would be the word that you would describe a Sir Lancelot gone bad.
So he wasn't a benevolent king, he was a
No. He was a real he's the earthly type of the Antichrist. Okay? With all of the power. Now the reason that he had this strength, that it says that he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Whereof it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Hunter is the word sayad, S-A-Y-Y-A-D, and it means a hunter of animals or of men, either to slay or to enslave or to convert. If we were speaking in Hebrew and we were talking about an evangelist, like in modern terms, we'd call him a hunter, a sayad. You understand? That's what he's converting. He's hunting souls.
Did he have the skin?
Yeah. Let me read this. This is from Josephus. Nimrod began to be a mighty one in the earth by bold and daring deeds. His rebellion is associated with the beginning of his kingdom, and his hunting and mighty deeds were related primarily to hunting men by tyranny and force to build his kingdom, which was Babel. He destroyed all who opposed him. Josephus says that he persuaded men not to ascribe their happiness to God, but to him as the cause of it. He became a great leader. He taught men to centralize in opposition to God's wishes. He defied God to send another flood. He taught men to build walled cities so that their walls of protection were man-made. for protection against animals in opposition to God's word. He established the first great kingdom of the earth and began to teach men the first great universal false religion, which was the original of Babel or Babylon since the flood. All this was done before the Lord. That means it was done in abject defiance.
Yeah.
Now, there's all kinds of legends about Nimrod, and we're going to spend some time looking at them because they reveal what you want. Every one of you want to be a Nimrod.
Well, I mean, I just think about the wall cities, all the walls that we put up, and
yeah.
I mean, everything that he taught them, we are taught automatically.
Yeah, there's several other. There's several things. He primarily did three things that every one of us are guilty of that causes all rebellion, and we'll study those in great detail. Let me just say quickly, and then we'll go eat some watermelon. What?
Yeah, like you go from
talking about the God.
I mean, you were just so serious and just.
Well, I mean, it's watermelon came up in my.
He's a type of the Antichrist. And hold on, before we eat water.
What are you gonna say before we eat water?
The ancient Hebrew rabbis, without exceptions, ascribed his power to the skins that God made Adam and Eve.
And
he got them through all kinds of weird stuff, which we'll talk about.
Good.
This was just the precursor to the sword. I mean, all those skins were what any powerful person wanted.
Whoever had those skins had the only thing on the face of the earth that was physically touched and made by the hand of God.
Whoa.
So it's like, even from that period of time, a lot of the legends that, you know, are kind of floating around the back of the
sun. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Cool.
Take it, big guy.